We left off last week. We were discussing much arichos about the machlokes and Rishonim about riba b'shiurim, both in terms of Shabbos as well as in terms of Yom Tov. The basic question will boil down to one simple apparent contradiction. When it comes to cooking on Yom Tov, so the Gemara tells us explicitly, Maseches Beitzah, that if you want a little bit of soup, you can make an entire pot of soup. You're allowed to add in more water into the same pot. Riba b'shiurim is mutter l'chachila on Yom Tov. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, the Gemara says explicitly that if a person has to cook for a chola, be it a chola sheyesh per sakana, so you have to only cook that which you need. If you decide you want to throw out an extra, more soup than another good bowl of soup on Shabbos afternoon, that would obviously be also. So the question is, why is there a distinction? Why is it that on Yom Tov the action is permissible and therefore you're allowed to add on to it? Whereas on Shabbos, you're not permitted to do so. So we had a major machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran last week as to how to understand this difference. So according to the Rashba, min ha-Torah, there really is no difference. Min ha-Torah is really mutter in both cases. Whenever it's mutter to cook on either Shabbos or Yom Tov, either for a chol or for a chol nefesh, so if it's in the same mice or the same tircha, you can add in as much as you want, mid-ra-isa. Mid-ra-bana, they thought that it's not appropriate on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, it's much lower level of Isser. We want to encourage it was Yom Tov. So on Yom Tov, they didn't institute an Isser Derabanan. On Shabbos, they did. But in terms of conceptually, fundamentally, Shabbos and Yom Tov are really the same according to the Rash. But according to the Ran, no. According to the Ran, Shabbos, to be Marba B'Shiurin, is in fact an Isser Min HaTorah, whereas in Yom Tov, it's permissible. What's the difference? And the Ran explained that it's a result of the conceptual difference between the heter of Eichel Nefesh and contrast to Pikuach Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh is what we call Hutra. It's Heter Gomer. You don't have to think twice about cooking on Yom Tov. It's Heter Gomer, no Shalas, no Sveikas. It's Mahadim and Rahadim to cook on Yom Tov. Once the action is something which is labeled as being permissible, then the Tesefis, the Reboy, is also permissible. Unlike Shabbos, we are cooking for a chol on Shabbos, although technically the halacha says you can do it, but it's only in the category of what's called the chuya. We're not so thrilled about it. We're not so happy about it. We would have liked to avoid it if we could have, just we can't. The guy's going to die, so we have to make a bowl of soup. But it's not glad. It's not het lechet chilish lechet chila. It's the chuya. You have to do it. You can't hesitate to do it. You have to do it. But it's the Torah's dechuya conceptually, not the Torah's dehutra, and therefore only what you need is permissible. Whatever is unnecessary would be asa min haTorah. So this machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran, whether riba b'shiurin in a situation of pikuach nefesh is potentially mutter min haTorah, as the Rashba says, or is mutter min haTorah according to the Rashba, and it's asa min haTorah according to the Ran. This machlokes is now going to spill over to two major sugyas that appear in Maseches Erevin, and the way to learn these two sugyas is ultimately going to depend on this machlokes, the Rashba and the Ran, with some very, very important ramifications, halacha l'maisa. So even though the particular case is not all that common in Zman Hazeh, but the ramifications of it are very, very much relevant. So if you take a look at the bottom of the... I'm not sure which number of pages it is at this point, but it's the... No, it's not. It's still the bottom of the first page. So the Gemara in Erevin Adav Samach Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara tells the following story. How Yanuka Dishtapi Chamimi. There was once a child, here we're talking about a child who we're about to do a bris mila for, and the hot water spilled out. Hot water spilled out. Who had the hot water in the first place? So the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos that one is not permitted to do a bris on Shabbos, any day for that matter, before you wash off the baby properly. You have to clean off the baby, wash off the baby properly, and you have to wash the baby off after the meal as well. These were all done for health reasons, for medical reasons. The Beis Yosef writes that this practice of washing off the baby before the brila is not done anymore. The Beis Yosef says that we're not so concerned with this anymore. We don't consider it to be such a significant health issue anymore. Of course, this Beis Yosef has become very controversial, so to speak, with Manazeh, when there are other things that Chazal speak about doing as part of the Bris Mila, which may also be only for health reasons, whether we have a right necessarily to change that as Manazeh. Again, we're not discussing that right now. Leave out issues of Metzitza Pair off the table right now. But the Beis Yosef does say that explicitly concerning the Rechitza, in terms of the washing off of the baby. But in the days of Chazal, it was considered to be something which was critical, so critical to the point that if you don't have the water, so you better get the water, and if it's Shabbos and you forgot to prepare the water, you're going to be in trouble, because we're not going to let you heat up the water on Shabbos, because only the mila itself is Dechah Shabbos, not the preparatory stages. and we're not going to let you do the milah without the water. So you're really going to be in a bind. So what do you do? So the Gemara tells a story that one time the water spilled. Al yinuku d'shtab b'chamim. They had prepared water from before Shabbos, and the water spilled. So amalu Rabba. So Rabba said, "What's the big deal? Naisu lechamim go beisoy." Rabba says, "I have water in my house. So bring the water." So somebody bring the water. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said, "V'halo arvinan." Abaye says, "No eruv." So how are we going to carry the water? So Amalei. So Rabba says, "Nismach hashituf." Let's rely on what's called the shituf mavuos. Okay, leaving out the details of Masechet Erevin right now, there are different procedures that can be done to potentially permit the area to be carried in. So Rabba thought that maybe there was a backup procedure called shituf mavuos. Maybe that would be okay. So Amalei. So Abaye said to him, "Halo shatfinan." Guess what? We didn't do that either. So we're 0 for 2. So Neimulei lenochri leiselei. So he said, wait a second. So he said, okay, so we're not going to carry the water ourselves. Let's get a non-Jew to carry the water for us. So then the Gemara tells the story. I'm Abaye, boy, l'osfi l'mahar, v'lo shafkan Rav Yosef. So Abaye said, I wanted to question my Rebbe. I wanted to question Rabba. Rabba was his uncle. I wanted to question him on this psak, but Rav Yosef wouldn't let me ask the question. The Amr of Yosef, Rav Kahana, Ki Avidim Be'er Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yosef said that when we used to learn Rav Yehuda's yeshiva, Hava Amalan used to tell us the following, V'daraisa Masvinin Tiyufta V'hadar Avdinin Maisa, V'darabonin Avdinin Maisa V'hadar Masvinin Tiyufta. He used to say to us that when there's a Shabbat Deraisa involved, then you don't just act right away. You have to ask questions first. You have to make sure you got everything right. And then you can pask in the Shaila. But the Rabbanan, you can be a little bit more lenient. If you think, again, if you're a person like Rav who thinks that it's okay, you think it's mutter, and that one of the Tamidim has some kasha, so let's first implement the psak, and then we'll talk about the longness a little bit later. But anyway, it's not the end of the world. It's a strange Gemara. So Kopanim, the Gemara says that since the Shaili was only with the Rabbanan, it was only a question of asking the goy to carry the water, which would not have been the Araisa. So the Taka did it. So Avdinin Ma'isvad B'Sum Tiyuf. The Taka did it, and then they asked the Kash, and then the Gemara is all pilpul about whether the Pesach was correct or not. The Gemara tells a similar story in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Once there was a shayla about blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos. We know that with the Rabbanah, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, but sometimes it's permissible in the presence of a Beis Din, different kinds of Beis Dins, whatever it is. So the Gemara tells a story that the days of Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, came time to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and it was Rosh Hashanah that fell out on Shabbos. So some of the Tamidim were starting to shepherd and say, wait a second, that's so simple with the Rabbanah. You're not allowed to blow, should be blow, not blow. So Rabbi Yochim says, you know, let's blow first, and we'll discuss later. So since the Issa was only an Issa Derabbanan anyway, so he applied this principle, let's act first and talk about it later. Again, this is not for regular Hamonah, this is for Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai said, let's blow first, we'll talk later. So they blew the shofar first, and then when it came time to talk about it, so Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai said the words, Kvar Nishma Keren B'Yavne, the horn in Yavne has already been heard, and let's not talk about it anymore. He said, we already heard the shofar, what are you talking about? We'll worry about it next year. So some people, when they read that Gemara, they think, oh, that's where the yeshiva got its name from. So that's not true. The yeshiva's name is Kerem B'Yavna with a mem. That was Keren B'Yavna with a nun. It's a nice idea, but it's not correct. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our story. So the one thing that is permissible, that emanates from Masugya is that to ask a goy is, in fact, permissible. So it sounds like it's pretty straightforward. That even though we're not allowed to carry the water ourselves, but we are permitted to ask a non-Jew to carry the water for us in order to facilitate that a bris milah takes place. The problem is that there is another Gemara in Maseches Erevin. I don't think I put it directly on the Maamar Kavos, because it's quoted in all the Rishonim over here, so we'll say it over outside quickly. The Gemara has a similar story ready on the same daf in Maseches Erevin. Another story happened that there was once bris was planned for Shabbos, the water was prepared for beforehand, and lo and behold, everyone seems to be klutzy. They drop the water there also. They spill the water. So now what do you do? So the Gemara came up with another Gemaralic idea. The Gemara says that let's check and see whether the mother needs water for herself. Why would the mother need water? She just gave birth a couple of days ago, so she's probably not in the best of health. And it's quite possible that the mother has some kind of a physical need that she needs the water. See, if the mother needs the water anyway, so if we're anyway going to have to heat up some water for the mother, we might as well take a big, big pot, and we'll add some extra water into that big pot, and we'll heat up the whole water, and then we'll have extra water for the bris milah. So that was the eitza that the Gemara gave. That's a radically different eitza than over here. Over here, we're saying that you should carry the water. Samir Yaakov will carry the water. Don't worry about it. Whereas over there, we're giving you a whole kunz, a whole chap. First, we'll check the mother. If the mother needs the water, then we'll add on water onto that pot. And Shalom Yisrael. So how do you understand these two gemaras? What's going on? How come in one case, we came up with the eitzah of having the goy carry the water? And the other case, we came up with the eitzah of asking the mother whether she needs the water. Then we're going to heat up the water on behalf of the mother. So there's a major plikus that we've shown him how to answer this question. And the answer to this question depends on everything we've been talking about for the last week about Reba Bishurin, adding on water, adding on soup. And the answer to that question is going to impact us, I can say almost without exaggeration, that a Shabbos really goes by without some application of this Shiloh coming up. Even though I don't get too many of water spilled Shilohs, don't get too many of adding on soup Sechonim Shilohs, but the principle that's about to come out of this Sugya becomes almost every Shabbos, these kinds of Shilohs. So let's get a little bit of a background to what the two different approaches in the Rishonim are to this particular dilemma. So again, the basic question is, we have two Gemaras. One Gemara, an Erevin that speaks about having the Goy carry the water to solve the problem. The other Gemara talks about asking the mother whether she needs water and adding on water on her behalf. So came along the Baal Halachas Gedolos, already from before the days of the Rishonim, from the period of the Gaonim, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, and says, it's quoted in the Tosfos and the Rashba, but we're going to streamline a little bit because the Rambam comments are fairly long over here, so we'll say it a little bit, this part a little bit real pep. So comes the Baal Halachas Gedolos, and he says the answer to the question is very simple. Depends where you live. Depends whether you live in, I don't want to single out any communities right now. We'll talk about communities that we live in. For argument's sake, a person lives in Midtown Manhattan. That's one kind of a community. And a person, for argument's sake, lives in New Square, a different kind of a community. So the demographics of those communities are slightly different in the sense that in one, you have a goy easily available. In another, you may not have a goy easily available. So comes about Lachos Gedolos and says, when you have a goy available, so that's the sugya that we just learned in Erevin. There's a goy available, so we're going to ask the goy to carry for us. I'll be really yakum, great, wonderful. But you don't always have a goy. You live in a little New Square. When we were in Eretz Yisrael in the Sabakolo, so in Beit Meir, we once had a question where we needed a goy to do something. There was no goy in the entire Moshav. So, you don't always have a goy around. So if you don't have a goy around, so the only thing that's going to be done, the only way, if ever you're going to heat up the water, it's going to have to be done Ayidei Yisrael. So that's what the other Gemara and everyone was saying. Wait a second, Ayidei Yisrael, you're going to heat up the water. A Jew's going to heat up the water. A Jew to heat up water on Shabbos, this is deraisa. What possible hetek can there be to heat up the water? Just to have the mila take place? It's not acceptable. Only the mila itself is decha Shabbos. What we call the machshire mila, the preparatory stages, are not decha Shabbos. So now we're mamash in a bind. We live in a New Square, there's no goy around, we have no water, we have a baby about to have a bris mila, everyone's standing and waiting, and we can't do the bris. We have no water, we have no goy, we got a big problem. So comes the Gemara and thought, and finally I'm wrong with another Eitzah. Maybe there's a chelesh yesh persakona around who needs water. Why would we even think there's a chelesh yesh persakona? Well, there's a woman who just gave birth, not all that long ago, and she may very well still be in a state of sakona. Let's ask her. Why should we ask her? She isn't. What's going on? So the Baal Halachas Gedolos refers you to a Gemara Masechet Shabbos that says that if a woman had a baby within the first couple of days of childbirth, we assume she probably is a chelesh yesh b'sakana. After the first couple of days, it depends case by case. She may be a chelesh, she may not be a chelesh. If she has a need, then she is a chelesh. She doesn't have a need, she's not a chelesh. So we're punking that window of opportunity to ask the woman, do you feel that you need hot water now? Let's strongly encourage her. Do you really feel you need a cup of tea? Don't you feel you're going to die if you don't get this cup of tea? Don't you really want the bowls? We ask her in a nice, honest way to see, does she have a need or not? So the answer is she does. Baruch Hashem, she's not feeling well. That's good for her, but good for us. She says, yeah, I really, really feel I could use a cup of tea. Baruch Hashem, we're about to heat up some tea for her. So comes the Baal Halachas Gedolos and says, you can heat up tea for her? Oh, well, you're already filling up a pot of water for tea. Why don't you fill up a really, really big pot so you give the little baby a bath before you give her the bris? So the Baal Halachas Gedolos says, that's the case of the Gemara. That's what's going on. The heating up of the water is being done al yedei Yisrael, and that explains exactly why it wasn't an option to have a goy. There was no goy around. So how come I skin and wear a New Square? There is no goy around. So we're heating up the water al yedei Yisrael, and the only possible way to be matir to heat up this water is to invoke the principle of pikuach nefesh, And once we already have pikuach nefesh on our hands, then we can throw in some extra water from good luck. That's the Baalachas Gedolus' pshat in the Gemara. So all the Rishayim jump on the Baalachas Gedolus and say, what are you talking about? That's the case of the Gemara. That's what you're allowed to do. How can that even be an option to do that? That's what's called Riba Bishurin. That's exactly what the Gemara says. We started off the sugya by saying that, but you're not allowed to do. You're not. There's no way you're allowed to do that. How could you possibly do that? That's exactly what Chazal say. When you're cooking for a chola, you have to be careful only to cook X amount. You're not allowed to add on more. So what could the Baalachas Gedolos possibly be holding? So the answer is very obvious. The Baalachas Gedolos must have been of the opinion that this prohibition of Riba Bishiurin is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, like the Shittas HaRashba. Min HaTorah, cooking for a chola on Shabbos is the same as cooking on Yontif. You're allowed to add on water to the pot on Yontif. Min HaTorah, you're allowed to add on water to the pot on Shabbos also. Aye, but the Gemara in Chulin says you're not allowed to. We said Riba Bishiurin is Asur. The answer is that was only a chumr mid the rabban. It doesn't look nice. It's a design of Shabbos to start adding in. You want to get yourself a bowl of soup on the chayla's back. That's not nice to do that on Shabbos. But in the perfect world, min haTorah, it's in fact permissible. Oh, says the Baalachas Gedolos, if it's permissible, min haTorah, so then sometimes Chazal lifted the Issa d'Rabbanan. When did they lift the Issa d'Rabbanan? When they felt it was really, really important to lift it. What's an example of an important case? To get the bris mila done. The only way to do this bris is to heat up the water. There's no goy to carry the water for me. There's no goy around to heat the water for me. I have to invoke the heter pikuach nefesh, and I have to follow the din d'oraisa of Riba Shurim being mutter. I'm midrabbanan tzalser. I know midrabbanan tzalser, but Chazal lifted that iser b'tzorach hamila. So there's no question that the Baalachas Gedolos, his whole approach to these sugyas, how come one Gemara talks about cooking water, one Gemara talks about carrying water, one's with a Jew, one's with a goy. When there's a Jew around, when there's a goy around, you have to go carry the water. When there's no goy around, you have to have the Jew do it, but it can only be done based on pikuach nefesh, and it must be that Riba Bishurin is mutter min haTorah. It is obvious that any Rishon who questions that premise of Riba Bishurin being mutter min haTorah will not learn the Gemaras the way the Baalachas Gedolos just learned them. It is impossible to learn the Gemaras that way, because if you hold like Iran that Riba Bishurin is prohibited on Shabbos, the Makom Cholim in haTorah, then I don't care what your tzarech is. If from today till tomorrow you need to do a bris, it doesn't matter. You can't violate in the Deraisa to do a bris. So this option, this approach of the Baalachas Gedolos is only as true as the Rishonim who say Riba Bishurin is Mutter min haTorah is true. According to the other approach of the Ran, we have to have a whole another look at these two Gemaras. So what could the answer to these two Gemaras be according to the Ran? So the first thing is that you have to bring the going back into the equation. There is no Jew doing anything in either one of these two sugyas, according to the other group of Rishonim. There are only goyim involved. To have a Jew involved is out of the question. The Jew's not carrying the water, Jew's not cooking the water, Jew's not adding on water, Jew's not an option. Everything that's going to be done, l'tzorach hamila, will, if anything, only be done through a non-Jew. So now the question is, so what are we asking the non-Jew to do? So now we have two different Gemaras. We have one Gemara that talks about asking the non-Jew to carry the water. We have another Gemara, which according to these Rishonim, is also talking through a non-Jew. We're asking the not-Jew to heat up the water for the mother, and if there's extra water, then we'll throw in the extra water for the meal, etc. So now we're really in a bind again. If we're already invoking a non-Jew, because according to these Rishonim, there's a non-Jew, both communities are on the west side. They're both in the same place. They're going around all over the place. So now the question becomes, if we're talking about invoking the non-Jew's help, so then why do we have to bend over backwards and find out, does the mother need water? And if the mother needs water, we'll throw in a few extra drops of water into the pot. I understand. Ask the non-Jew to heat up the water for you. You just ask the non-Jew to carry the water for you in Erev and Daf Samach Zayin. So in Erev and Samach Ches, ask the goy to cook the water for you. According to the Baalachas Gedolos, that the Gemara about cooking the water was talking about, there's no non-Jew around, so then obviously we have to invoke Pekuach Nefesh, we have to check the mother's status first. But according to the other Rishonim who are learning, that there's a non-Jew in both cases. That's the case. There is no Jew ever doing anything on Shabbos for the milah. Both Gemaras are talking about through the non-Jew. So then, if he's already carrying the water in one sugya, let him cook the water in the other sugya. Why do you have to bend over backwards and check the mother and check the doctor and see the mother's status and add the water? Just ask the non-Jew to cook up the water for us, please, so we can do the bris milah. So what's going on according to these Rishonim? So come the other group of Rishonim and say, the answer is very simple. Amir Eliakim, having Goyim do things for us on Shabbos, is not permissible. There's an Issa Midrabanan called Amir Eliakim. For a variety of reasons, Chazal instituted that prohibition. Amir Eliakim is Asur. The starting point is that it's Asur. Ella, Chazal lifted that prohibition of Amir Eliakim under certain extenuating circumstances. What are those extenuating circumstances? When do we permit Amir Eliakim? What are some examples of when we permit Amir Eliakim? So there happens to be a din that for a chola, even a chola she'ein bo sakana, someone whose life is not in danger, just they're very uncomfortable, chola she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to go to the store and get your medicine. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to turn on a light for you. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to drive some, whatever's necessary to alleviate the pain and suffering of a chola she'ein bo sakana. Life is not in danger. Chola she'ein bo sakana. So Chazal lifted the prohibition of Amir Eliakim, outright hefter. What about Lutzorach a bris milah? If we don't have the goy do X, Y, and Z, the bris will not take place. Is that enough of a tzorech to permit Amir Eliakim? So that becomes a little trickier. On the one hand, a bris is very important. Bilya Mashmini, it's very important for us to do. On the other hand, Amir Eliakim Shabbos is also important. So did Chazal lift it or did they not? So comes Tosfos, it comes most of the Rishonim and say the following pshara, so to speak, the following compromise. The goal is to get this bris milah done. And we have Amir Eliakim standing in our way. Say most of the Rishonim, if it entails asking the non-Jew to do an outright diaraisa, like you're going to ask the non-Jew to mamish get in his car and drive, like, no, it's not worth it. We're going to lose out the meal on the Yom HaShmini. We'll lose it out. We'll do the bris tomorrow. We'll do the bris on Sunday. You cannot violate outright Amir Eliakim, even for the significant reason of having the bris milah done on the right day. Cannot do it. Amir Eliakim is more important. However, what if the Amir Eliakim doesn't entail asking the goy to do a diaraisa? It only entails asking the goy to do a dirabanan. It's already, the wheels are turning. We're already twice removed now. I'm not going to ask the goy to drive the car. That would be a diaraisa. I'm going to ask the goy to do something which, beinenu, even if I did it, it would only have been a dirabanan in the first place. So this is what we call, it's like a trade dirabanan. It's what we call a shvus to shvus. It's a derabanan on a derabanan. The fact that it's a goy doing it, that itself is a derabanan, that automatically lowers it down to a derabanan. And the fact that the action itself is only a derabanan to kisser in the first place, that's also a derabanan. So I'm asking a goy to do a derabanan, and the goal is to have the bris take place. That's okay. That Chazal lifted. That Chazal said, all right, we're going to look the other way, we'll give you a green light. What we call a shvus to shvus, but mako mila, that's okay. Say most of the Rishonim, Tosfos and the Ran, that's the answer to the two sugyas. When the Gemara says that you're allowed to ask the goy to carry the water for you, where exactly is the goy carrying this water? We know that the Isser of carrying on Shabbos is a deraisa, it's one of the 39 melachas, but it's only deraisa in very, very limited circumstances. If you have an area that's called the Rosh Hasharabah Min HaTorah, a public thoroughfare, a public area Min HaTorah, which is a whole series of different conditions would have to be met for that to be true. If you have an area that's a Rosh Hasharabah deraisa, then carrying is deraisa. Short of that, carrying is only midrabanan. Abaye, Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, they didn't live such big metropolitan area. The stum of the areas that they were talking about were only midrabanan anyway. Therefore, the Rishonim write that when Rabba and Abaye and Rabbi Yosef, when they were talking about the possibility of asking a goy to carry water, he wasn't carrying the water down the main thoroughfare of the Rishus Rabbim. He was carrying the water from a back alley to someone else's backyard. There was no Erev. It was only midrabanan anyway. So that's exactly what Chazal say. It's a shvus to shvus, but machamila. You're permitted to ask a goy to do a what would otherwise be a derabanan, so that the bris should take place. That's all Chazal permitted. They only permitted to ask a goy to do a derabanan. Now, plug that back into the other story about heating up the water. We asked the question, If it's already a non-Jew, why don't you just ask the non-Jew to cook the water for you outright? The answer is cook the water. Who said you could ask a non-Jew to cook water? Cooking is a deraisa. So to cook water on Shabbos is out of the question, not only for me, it's out of the question for the goy as well. There's only one way to be able to be matir cooking water on Shabbos. And what is that? B'machom chola. That's why we ask the mother how she's feeling. If the mother's not feeling so well, she says, I need the water. Great, wonderful, we're going to cook you the water. Not we, we're going to have the goy cook you the water. She's only a chol she'en b'sakana. She gave birth a week ago, she's not dying. She's a chol she'en b'sakana. We're going to ask the goy to cook the water, because that's okay, that's fine. And then, we'll throw some water in also for the bris milah. But we're not going to ask the goy to cook the water for the bris milah. That would be an amil yakam on a deraisa, and that would be out of the question. So this is a radically different approach to these two sugyas. So again, everybody has to work with the same problem. We have one gemara that speaks about carrying water to have the bris done. Another gemara that talks about this roundabout backwards way of heating up the water for the mother to have the bris done. What's the difference between the two sugyas? So according to the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one sugya is talking about through a Jew, one sugya is talking about through a goy. If it's talking about through a Jew, then we have to invoke Pikuach Nefesh, and we have to permit Riba Bishirim in HaTorah. That's the Baal Halachas Gedolos says Pshat. And all the other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ran, and Tais, everybody else says no. You have it all wrong. There's no Jew in either case. Jew's out of the question. It's a goy in both scenarios. So why do we, in one case, we let the goy do it outright, and the other place we bend over backwards? The answer is, when there's only a derabbanan being done, then we can ask the non-Jew to do it directly for the milah. When there's a potential deraisa that's going to be performed, such as cooking water, not carrying water, cooking water is a deraisa, then it cannot be done even through a mil yakum. It can only be done roundabout if the chayim of the mother needs the water. Why is this so relevant, Lamaisa? The water's not spilling this man azeh, no one's using the water anymore. Why is this so relevant? What these Rishonim just developed was the following principle, that Amir Liakum will sometimes be lifted and sometimes not. If it's Amir Liakum on a Deraisa, then we're not going to touch it, even for a Mila. If it's Amir Liakum on a Derabanan, then we'll negotiate. Then we'll permit it. Then we'll be okay with it. Amir Liakum on a Derabanan for a Bris is going to be okay. Question that's really relevant for us is, how far does this principle go outside of the realm of bris milah? Is there something unique about bris milah here? Or maybe bris milah is an example of any other mitzvah in the Torah. Maybe Amir Liakum is permissible on the Derabanan for any mitzvah. If the answer to that question is yes, then you can begin to understand why this shaila comes up all the time. I want to ask a guy to do such and such. Why? Well, I want to learn, or I want to daven, or I want to have Siddur Shabbos, or I want to do some other kind of mitzvah. I want to ask a guy to do it. All right, but it's a Amir Liakum. Well, maybe what I'm asking the guy to do is only a derabanan. So maybe we could start to combine. It's a Amir Liakum on a derabanan, but a mitzvah, maybe mitzvah's like a miva. Maybe we're in business. So hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll have to see the halacha l'maaseh ramifications of this. But it all emanates from everything we talked about last week. This whole shtickle Torah of starting the whole ball rolling is only as true because of the machlokes, the Baalach's Gedolos, and the Rashba, and the Ran, and the Tosfos. It all started out with Rebbe Bashir, and it all starts just a logical conclusion to everything we've been talking about actually for the last 2 weeks. So that's from tomorrow. We'll try to put the final touches on some of the points of the sugya.